Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
On Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now, the blog goes up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for a brand new one there tomorrow. But there is various content added throughout the week, so swing on over there and check that stuff out while you're there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, swing on over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, yeah, you know, by now it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, and again, I get to start off by... I get to thanking AT&T for having the worst internet service in the history of the world because it just stopped working as soon as the music started playing. So, hey, thanks for that, guys. I greatly appreciate that. But I did have a question for you, Dan. What did you and Derrick Rose have in common yesterday?
We didn't show up.
You didn't call the places you were supposed to show up, so nobody knew what happened to you. So I don't know if you heard the Derrick Rose debacle. Yeah, he did not appear for the Knicks last night. Just didn't show up. Nobody heard from him. He wasn't answering his phone. Then apparently after the game, I don't know if he contacted Joe Kim Noah or Joe Kim Noah got a hold of him, but they finally reached out to him. His excuse was he had a family emergency in Chicago. Now, I saw today that they're reporting that it was something to do with his mother. They hadn't went into specifics, but the first story I saw that broke was from Casey, I forgot his last name, but he's the local Chicago guy who covered the Bulls for all those years when Rose were here. And he mentioned that it was actually the fact that Rose was, believe it or not, Dan, missing his son and went to see him. Now, that's all well and good to me, Dan. I mean, it's nice that I guess, you know, maybe he wants to try to be a good father. In the NBA, you have plenty of off days to go do this and schedule it with your team. I'm not buying the fact that he took off because he missed his kid when I don't believe the Knicks are playing tonight and he could have easily hopped the plane after the game and got there. So, you know, and this also goes along to the fact that he's got a little problem with Knicks management as of late because his minutes have been cut. So you kind of start adding everything up, and it kind of looks like Derrick Rose was the piece of crap we thought he was when he was in Chicago. So there you go.
I mean, is it Rose just being Rose?
Yeah, you know, it's starting to work like that. You know, he wasn't doing a ton with the Knicks as it was. You know, if my internet ever decides it wants to work again, I can probably pull up his stats real quick. You know, sadly, I think I left my tablet in the other room, so I don't have that exactly in front of me either. Bad time for that to happen. But, you know, odd situation after odd situation with this guy, you know, and you wonder what goes through his mind when, you know, these kind of things come up or these kind of situations come up. I mean, it's almost like he just has no clue on how to handle life.
Did he get eaten up yet in New York, or?
Yeah, you know, I don't think they've been too hard on him. You know, as a whole, I mean, as the media can be, I still think they're more kind of on Carmelo compared to, you know, compared to Derek, but he, you know, I'm wondering now, I mean, after this little episode, I'm sure he'll really become the highlight of whatever, you know, they're looking for or whatever they're attempting to accomplish. But I don't get it. You know, when I kind of try to think about it or try to figure it out, you know, this is your job, basically a part-time job as it is. I mean, you're only playing, you know, 82 games a year. It's not like, you know, you're working 5 days a week, because, you know, we all know better. Derrick Rose isn't a gym rat or anything like that. He's not, you know, he's not beating the floor up or anything. So, but let's see, he's averaging 31.9 minutes a game, 17.3 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. So that's where he is. That makes him the third leading scorer on the team behind Anthony and, of course, Porzingis. No real surprise here, Dan. He's shooting 24.5% from behind the three-point line. And you thought Tony, Snell was bad. So,
yeah. You know, again, I guess.
So, yeah,
I should have pursued being an NBA star. Could have been mediocre. I've been making $20 million a year.
Yeah, you know, now with the salary cap the way it is, you know, even those guys who stink are getting paid, you know, big, big bucks. You know, the bottom of the roster guys are getting huge sums. Now, I know the Knicks did fine him. It was an undisclosed amount. I don't know what it ended up being. If that'll ever come out, who knows? We'll have to see. But I'm double-checking the schedule. They do not play tonight. They do play tomorrow. Tonight we've got the Chicago Bulls at the Washington Wizards. The first game on NBA TV is the Boston Celtics at the Toronto Raptors. We got the Atlanta Hawks at the Brooklyn Nets. And, God, the Hawks just suck for some reason. The Charlotte Hornets at the Houston Rockets. The Milwaukee Bucks at the San Antonio Spurs. The Cleveland Cavaliers at the Utah Jazz, the Portland Trail Blazers at the Los Angeles Lakers. The second game on NBA TV tonight is Dan's Miami Heat at the Golden State Warriors. And then we got the Detroit Pistons at the Sacramento Kings. Now, Dan, the Bulls game is scheduled to start at 6 o'clock, so it won't be part of your picks later in the show. You know, they're going to Washington. They got beat by 15 last night by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jimmy Butler's going to miss the game with the flu, and Dwayne Wade's going to sit out because it's the second of a back-to-back. A, do the Bulls have any chance to win this game? And B, do they have any chance to break the 100-point mark?
Yes and no.
You think they can hang in with the Wizards? As, you know, shorthanded like that?
I think as long as they stay together in the first half.
You know, you don't think they're headed for another double-digit loss?
Well, they could be.
So, I am looking here on the line. It looks like the Wizards are favorite by anywhere from 10 points to 11.5 points, depending on where you place your bet. So
maybe they don't have a chance.
You know, and that's Vegas. That's, you know, what Vegas is thinking. You know, they know, you know, obviously they don't lose money. So I guess they're not giving the Bulls as much of a chance as you are. I would be interested to know what their starting lineup looks like for tonight. tonight. I don't know if they they post them like they do for baseball and stuff, if they get out early or anything like that. But, you know, because obviously Butler's a starter, Wade's a starter, so who was, you know, who, okay, let's see. I think we, I got something here. Let's see if this is correct. All right, get out of the way there so I can move the page down. It looks like, according to, what am I on? NBAStarting5.com. It is Michael Carter-Williams, Jerry and Grant. Your guy Dougie McDermott's going to get the start. Dougie McBuckets. Taj Gibson and Robin Lopez. What do you think of that?
There's going to be a lot of threes being shot.
For the Wizards, the lineup they have announced is John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Markieff Morris, and Marcin Gortat. So kind of a pretty regular lineup for the Wizards. So it will be highly interesting to see how this all works out tonight for the Bulls. But I have a feeling we're going to go crashing into another loss. Obviously, you know, it's still, we're not even to the halfway point of the season yet, so, but they would drop under 500. So they're kind of right where we thought. But this leads us back to the point, I know you wanted to get to this. When the year started, you know, as everybody knows, I trade emails with Schomburg Stu on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, we talked before the year, and it was kind of like the Bulls are going to be a 500 team. You know, that's all they were going to be. Now, you mentioned you thought it would probably still be good enough to get them in the playoffs in the East, and it probably will be. It's going to be right there borderline, you know, maybe 7th, 8th seed, or maybe they just miss it by the 9th seed. But now the Bulls are 500. They're exactly 500. They're 19-19 going into tonight's game. Right? Okay. 500. Every time they lose, I get an email from Stu telling me about how bad they are. Even when they win, I get emails telling me how bad they are. And I keep asking him, he never answers me. I'm like, dude, you know, they're right around 500 where we thought they were going to be. What did you expect? So Dan, can you answer this? What am I missing? I'm kind of going with the fact that he's still got the Cubs hangover, and he's now a spoiled Chicago sports fan, and he thinks that the winning is just going to come easy.
Well, supposedly they signed, you know, two quote superstars in the offseason, the Bulls.
Oh, Dwayne Wade's not a superstar anymore. He's just got some name value to help people show up at the venue. So, you know, that's all he's worth. Yeah, Rondo, we're getting exactly what you and I said they were going to get out of Rondo. It was oddly, Dan, it was Rajon Rondo bobblehead night last night, and he didn't play a minute. I do wonder if he'll play tonight with the injuries. You know, they are quite shorthanded. But, you know, the Chicago thing, you know, I got the same thing kind of with Stu at the start of the year with the Blackhawks, because, you know, they had six or seven new guys in their lineup and they really struggled to start. You know, obviously they turned it around. They're one of the better teams in the Western Conference, not only in the Western Conference, but in hockey. And it's just kind of funny how getting one championship out of one team kind of turns the expectations of people that, like, you know, even when your team struggles, and I mean, I'm sorry, Bulls fans, if you thought they were honestly going to beat the Cavaliers in a 7-game series and go to the NBA Finals, you were a little off your rocker to begin with, but I appreciate your fandom. So, you know, how do they get like this, Dan? I mean, you're a over-the-top, out-of-your-mind Cub fan, but you're not expecting Bulls titles and Bears titles. You might be expecting a Blackhawks title if they beat the Capitals, but you know, how do you control it? And a guy who's been a fan for as long as Stu has is just kind of getting jiggy with it.
Yeah, well, I think the expectation with the Blackhawks is higher just because of what they've done.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird. You know, the other thing I get, and I'm wondering if we're going to go through this with Stu and the Cubs, and I'm wondering how he's going to handle it. You know, every time the Blackhawks have to let a guy go, you know, we've seen the Patrick Sharps go, the Johnny Oduyas, the Brandon Sods, the Andrew Shaws. You know, because of salary cap purposes, they've had to, you know, had to allow some guys to go. And now they're not the only team that has to do this. I mean, every NHL team goes through it with the hard salary cap. But every time they ship a guy off or, you know, we got to move somebody somewhere, you would swear they're moving, you know, when I talk to Stu about it, you'd swear to God they're moving the guy who just won the Conn Smythe. And I hate to see these guys go as much as everybody else does, but it's a hard salary cap. It's part of the game. Again, every team goes through it. Well, again, how do we, we can even go back to the Bulls. Remember how many people were upset when they traded Derrick Rose? Why?
All the same people who wanted him to go.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I could understand maybe the sports writers being upset Derrick Rose left because obviously they just lost an easy story. But, you know, I mean, there were fans going, oh, my God, I can't believe you traded Derrick Rose. Like, what are you talking about? All last year, all you guys were talking about is how you wanted them to trade Derrick Rose. So.
Well, I mean, not only that, everyone wanted to hang on to Joakim Noah, too.
Yeah, you know, definitely a guy who was, you know, well past his prime. You know, you can tell just by the, you know, the way he played with the Knicks. You know, I mean, obviously good guy. You know, he's a great hustle player, a nice team leader. You know, Joakim Noah is the kind of guy you keep on your bench when you're on the verge of winning a championship. He's not the guy you hang on to when you're 500. So, yeah, I get kind of lost with, you know what I mean? I don't mean to insult anybody or want to insult anybody, but I guess I just don't get it when it comes to this. And, I mean, am I that bad about the Seahawks?
No, and it's funny because you say a 500 team, man. You know, a couple of weeks ago, the Knicks were like at the 3 or 4 seed, and now they're 17 or 21 below the Bulls. So,
yeah, and you know, again, I mean, it just kind of wonder. You're like, what were your expectations? I mean, I didn't hear at all during preseason saying the Bulls won a championship. You know, the majority of people had them picked to actually miss the playoffs. So the fact that they're in the, I think they're in the 7th seed right now, I mean, again, it doesn't mean nothing. You know, we're 40 games into the season. We're just coming up to the halfway point. But, you know, I mean, the fact they're kind of hanging around, you know, just right where you and I predicted. This is what we said. You know, it's not a surprise to me that they're, you know, they're right here, and, you know, this is kind of it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, here you go. This is the Bulls. This is what we're going to get. And, you know, good luck. And, I wonder the same thing. I mean, do the teams at the bottom have this issue? I mean, were there 76ers fans going out of their minds the last couple of years when, you know, this team was, you know, obviously destined to the lottery to start. And sadly, I think they're probably still in the lottery this year, but they are, you know, they do look improved. So, yeah, I mean, they are, yeah, they're 10 and 25, Dan. They're actually ahead of two teams in the Eastern Conference standings for a change. One of them being your Miami Heat. So, I don't know. Can you explain this? I mean, are there White Sox fans out there while they're going through this rebuild thinking, you know, they're going to the World Series, or, you know, Alshon Jeffries is taking the Bears to the Super Bowl next year? You know,
well, no,
help you.
I think people buy into that one.
Yeah, I mean, do you think there's honesty? You know, and I mean, again, you know, you want to put your fandom on display, but I mean, do you really think down in somebody's heart that they think the Bears are going to the Super Bowl next year?
I mean, personally, I would have hoped not.
You know, because, I mean, you know, thinking about it, I mean, obviously, with the NFL, there's a ton of changes. But, you know, I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is, are Bears fans thinking they're going to get a Dallas Cowboy-like turnaround if they draft a rookie quarterback and start him? You know, because they do have a pretty quality running back. You know, Jordan Howard's looking like he's going to be a quality running back. You know, if you plug the rookie quarterback in, does that mean they're all going to go nuts thinking, okay, we've got it made now and, you know, everything's going to go off? Or, you know, do they just forget that Dallas also has the best offensive line in the NFL, and that obviously makes things a whole lot easier for them?
Yeah, well, you know, that was something I was listening to with the old guys in the morning. Talking about the all the draft picks, or, you know, how Dallas drafted the best offensive line, and that's what makes them probably one of the best teams for Ezekiel and Prescott, right? Dak, whatever. But it's just funny when you say that about the Bears and the Bulls, because, you know, Alshon Jeffries came out there, he said about winning the Super Bowl, and I think there's a lot of people who down think that they're going to do something next year. Or in the same token, I'm dying laughing with the Bulls because I heard this long conversation over the weekend about how, you know, the White Sox are doing it. It's their turn to rebuild and they should trade off Jimmy.
Yeah. I heard that too. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Bulls looking into trading Jimmy Butler. And I don't get it. You know, it's kind of like he's literally the only top player they have. You know, Dwayne Wade is obviously past his prime and, you know, just one of those things. You know, it happens to all great stars. You know, they eventually run out. But, yeah, I mean, even if you move Butler, what are you what are you getting back? You know, can you get enough back for Jimmy Butler in a trade?
I don't think so. I mean, in the end, you need to build around him. And everyone's kind of mentioning that, you know, is he the kind of guy that's going to draw people to Chicago? And a lot of the reporters were upset, you know, because everyone was off for the weekend, so these are all the fill-ins. They were getting very upset at the fact that Jimmy's blowing it off and saying that they're making it up, which I was dying laughing because they played the clip and Jimmy didn't really say anything the way they worded it. They were just mad that he brushed it off, you know, as a rumor. And I don't know. It's baffling to me that, you know, the Cubs pared down and it worked out. So now, you know, the White Sox are following suit 5 years later. Is it going to work out? I'm not buying it. I also didn't buy the Cubs rebuild. And if the Bulls were to tear it down, I wouldn't buy that either.
No, well, you know, you go and you look at it. I mean, well, you know, let's be real. The Cubs are the only team that have had any kind of success with this rebuild. You know, the Astros rebuild is off the rails now because all they did was go out and spend money on veteran free agents and trade for veterans. So they've obviously passed on their rebuild. You know, they think they're to the point where wherever, you know, they're doing is correct. And, you know, these are the holes they plugged, but, you know, they added the Josh Reddicks and the, you know, the Brian McCanns and, you know, the type of the Carlos Beltrans, you know, the type of guys like that to try to, you know, try to fill up these holes that they were unable to rebuild, you know, in their drafting process. You know, you look at, well, the 76ers tried it. They've been bad for how long? It's been, what, 5-6 years now they've been bad?
Feels like since the answer left.
Yeah. You know, I mean, going back to baseball, how does the Reds and the Brewers rebuild look? You know, I think the Brewers are kind of on the right track, but the Reds are so completely lost. You know, I mean, you're going through a rebuild with Joey Bovado and Brandon Phillips. By the time your team's ready to win, neither of them are going to be there. And I get it. It's tough to trade Votto's contract. You know, he signed that 10-year, $220 million deal, I think it was, or something like that. And he's got six years left, or maybe even 7 years left. You know, no team's going to want to touch that. But, you know, Phillips is to the point where he blocks every trade. You know, obviously he's not a very good teammate because he just doesn't want to participate in whatever you got going on. You know, I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy who turned down a chance to go to a playoff team last year when they had a deal with Washington and he used his 10-5 status to block it. You know, I can understand you don't want to go to Atlanta. I have no problem with that at all. But your job is to win World Series. You know, go to the contender, you know, take your chances, see what you do. But no, you know, like, you know, at least the Brewers seem closer to being on the right track. You know, I mean, they're still kind of saddled with Ryan Braun. But, you know, there's, you know, we'll see. There's still some time. There's been a lot of talks about him moving along. You know, maybe they, you know, they make the move. But, you know, are the White Sox going to be in that boat? I mean, you're looking at a team right now that's currently sitting on, you know, Todd Frazier. There's absolutely no need for Todd Frazier to be on this team. There's no need for Brett Lowry. I can understand you hanging on to Melky because teams are going to want to see Melky prove it before you deal him. You know, I mean, if he goes into the All-Star break hitting 280 or 300, you'll be able to move him, and you're only going to get lower-tier prospects for Melky anyways. I mean, Melky's not bringing a big return back. So, you know, and I mean, you look at it, and you know, you've got to wonder why. You know, why are these guys still here?
Well, you know, Mr. Fantasy, of course, you know, not to knock him, but he explained why the Melky deal, blah, 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 at the time. And it's funny how even at the time, I said it was a dumb deal. They should have never made it. But again, you know, like we had always talked, it was Kenny and then Rick. And what was Rick's real job? What did he really do besides have the title? And, I mean, obviously we don't know. And we'll never know, because I don't even think Chicago, you know, the beat reporters even honestly know what really went down or what really happened to make the change. You know, to let, you know, is it really Rick having full reins like he's supposed to be? Or did the old man finally tell Kenny to chill out and let's do something different? So, you know, so I guess at the time, you know, it was what it was. And, you know, if you listen to what Mr. Fantasy had to say about it, you can buy into it. But again, at the same token, it still never made any sense to me why you would sign this guy for 3 years at the money that he got, which it wasn't astronomical. You know, it's pretty affordable and according to today's contracts, but it made no sense to me whether you were trying to rebuild the team or you were trying to go to the World Series. I don't know how he fit into those plans whatsoever. And I mean, I could see why everyone was upset with Kenny and the old, you know, let's just try to patch it now, because why did they sign Todd Frazier? Because he was the home run champion or home run derby champion? I mean, because I'm still trying to figure it out. I still think there was a couple other third basemen that they could have went after or, you know, worked within their system.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, you know, for the last 2 years, Melky's been one of their more solid players. And now that his contract is coming up, it's funny, but he's a steal at $13 million compared to what some of these other guys get. You know, so that's why I think, you know, like he hit 296 last year. If he hits right around there, you know, there'll be teams knocking on their door looking for him as, you know, a fourth outfielder or, you know, a guy coming off the bench, you know, to pinch hit. So, you know, they should at least be able to get, because, you know, he is only 32. So, you know, that should be okay for them. But, yeah, if the season starts and Todd Frazier's on this roster, the rebuild is already behind schedule, kind of like the same thing with David Robertson. You know, there's no real reason for, you know, these guys to be hanging around on this team. I mean, I think Frazier's in, it's either his last year of arbitration or his last year of a deal. You know, it says here he's scheduled to make $3,750,000 this year. So that's a pretty good bargain for him. You know, a team should have no issue taking on that money. Robertson is a $10 million guy, so you do wonder about that a little bit, if anybody would step up and find an interest in him. Sadly, if you're a White Sox fan, you're stuck with James Shields. Nobody's taking James Shields off your hands. You know, he's going to have to go out and go 10-0 with an ERA probably about, you know, 2.75 by the All-Star break for anybody to have any interest in him. you know, he was such a joke last year. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of these questions when it comes to the rebuilding teams that, you know, the Cubs didn't do this.
No, and I mean, essentially, the way the White Sox are, quote, rebuilding, you know, they don't need a 5-year plan. They only need 2 more years to draft a couple more of the best hitters that the game has to offer. You know, being the fact that they got Giolito, and then I forgot, what's his name from?
Moncada.
Moncada. Gotta remember those names. You know, with those two guys right there, they should be, you know, really honestly 2 draft picks away unless they're able to do, and I forget how it would work, unless they're able to somehow, I doubt they'll have any qualifying offers to give up next year, so they probably won't get any supplemental picks. So I don't know if they could do it that Theo way, where he was able to, in Boston, grab a lot of young talent through supplemental picks, which worked out good for him in Boston. And they won, you know, 2 with him and the 3rd one with his system still in place while he was, you know, here in Chicago, oddly. So, I mean, technically Theo should have 4 rings, you know, in my mind, and I'm sure with a lot of other people in baseball, but with the transition that happened here in Chicago, or the Cubs on the north side, what the White Sox are doing, they should be, like you said, ahead of the game. And I think if they're stuck with Frazier for the first half of the season, they might be, you know, maybe not so much as behind the game, but kind of catching up to be zeroed out. And if they're stuck with them the full year, I think that's when you start saying they're behind the ball with him. But, I mean, I think the troubling part, too, is how can you create value for him without – you know, having the right guys around him. Are you that afraid of him when he's, you know, sitting in front of or behind Abreu or Melky and sitting in between them? So you've got to wonder where they're going to put their lineup together to create value out of him.
Yeah, well, you know, and then the toughest part is, you know, everybody has predicted that, you know, Yoan Moncada is going to be a third baseman at the major league level. So now you have Todd Frazier in his way. You know, you're going to DH Frazier. Okay, great. Then, you know, you got to put Abisail Garcia back in the outfield. you know, how, you know, how do you work these things out? And the longer you hold on to Frazier, being in the last year of that deal, the less you're going to get for him. You know, if he's on this team by the trade deadline, nobody's giving you jack squat for that guy. You know, you're going to be getting low minor league prospects for you know, pretty much a 40 homer guy.
Well, unless they can arrange a trade with Nick Washington.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they could manage, you know, manage to do that again. You know, I mean, I really think they missed the boat. The best chance they had to move him was when LA was looking for a third baseman. They should have got in there right away, came up with some kind of deal, even if they would have had to take in a little less just to make the deal. But they waited too long. They were able to work things out with Justin Turner. Now they don't need a third baseman. You know, you kind of start looking around and you wonder, well, who does? You know, who are the teams out there that could use, you know, a Todd Frazier type third baseman? And there really aren't too many where, you know, you're gonna get a good deal from.
I was gonna throw out some names, but then you said a good deal, so then I just shut myself up.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, because, I mean, obviously there are plenty of teams that could use this guy. You know, I mean, like, he would probably be a good fit for a place like Baltimore where they could move, you know, Manny Machado to shortstop, where, you know, it's really more of his natural position. He's a very talented shortstop. But, you know, Baltimore doesn't make these kind of deals. You know, I mean, the big deal for Baltimore was trading Yelvani Gallardo for Seth Smith. That was their big offseason deal. You know, they don't go out and make these kind of moves. So, you know,
I mean, would you consider a deal for Todd Frazier a big deal, though?
You know, for a team like Baltimore, it would be, because he could replace Trumbo, who hit, you know, the 47 bombs, and Frazier hit 40. So, you know, that would be a big deal for a team like that, because they're filling a really solid power type need. I mean, if you were dealing him to, you know, I don't know, you know, the Giants or something, or, you know, the Cardinals, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. But, you know, there are teams that, you know, could probably really use a bat like Frazier's. But, you know, they're not really the teams that make up these type of moves.
Fitting, though, in the NL again? Or do you think he just had just run really bad year on the south side?
It's the one under the light blue one. Sorry. No, just the one. Yeah, you know, I got the team list up here, and I'm trying to figure out who the heck, you know, who could use him. And, I mean, he might look really good in the Met uniform with, you know, the injuries David Wright has had. You know, maybe it's time for, you know, David Wright to look into playing first base, or maybe that back is just so bad he's going to have to go. But,
back.
You know, the Mets, yeah, you know, I mean, what are the Mets going to give you? I mean, they're not going to part with one of those six starting pitchers.
Luke Fido.
So, you know, who do you settle on? You know, and they also did pick up Jose Reyes, who played a lot of third base last year. You know, so, you know, that could be one of those, you know, odd type fits. But again, I mean, the Mets aren't giving you anything. He would be a great fit for the Marlins, you know, because, I mean, besides the fact that he hits home runs, he is a very good defender. You know, because of the home runs, I don't think he gets enough credit for his defense, but he is a really solid third baseman. You know, but, you know, again, I mean, what are the Marlins going to give you? You know, could he fit with the Giants? Yeah, you know, could he fit with the Giants? Yeah, maybe, but he's not really the Giants type of player. You know, they're not making that move. you know, the rest of the teams. I mean, you know, sure, say, hey, great, the Angels could use him, but he's not winning the Angels anything. They're not. They're, yeah. Well, Escobar can also play second and short. So, but you know, I mean, they're not. You know, they're not winning anything if they go out and get Todd Frazier. You know, they're not going to make that move. You know, maybe you can con the A's into taking him. I'm hoping Billy Bean hoping he can spin him at the trade deadline. But at this point in time, I don't know if the A's got anything left to give up themselves. So, you know, so yeah, it just, you know, it makes it tough and it kind of, you know, kind of narrows things down on, you know, where you're going to go and what you can do with them. You know, maybe if you do move Quintana, which I kind of hope they don't, I would like to see him anchor their rotation. Maybe you dump Frazier in that deal and you force the team Quintana goes to take him, you know, or maybe that's what you try to do with David Robertson to rid yourself of that $10 million salary, you know, just be kind of like, hey, if you really want this guy, you're taking this guy with him. So, but yeah, I'm not as sold as you are. I don't think this rebuild is off to a good start. I mean, they made a couple of good deals. You know, Moncada, obviously, he's supposed to be the top minor league player. Giolito's supposed to be the top pitcher. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm not as sold with the start here.
Yeah, but obviously know a little bit longer than I would. But, I mean, aside from the Cubs, has any team really come through a, quote, rebuild and won it all? I mean, you could say what you want about Boston, but that was not a rebuild.
Yeah, you know, I think the Cubs were the first team to accomplish it, winning it all. You know, like the A's, you know, the basis of Moneyball with the movie and everything, they did a really nice job rebuilding that team when, you know, Jason Giambi left and Johnny Damon walked away and they lost all their big-time players. But they never got to the World Series. They never capped it off. So while they were close, the Cubs are really the first team, I think, lately. I'm sure if we went back in time, you know, there were teams that did it. But, you know, the Cubs are the first team as of late that has really,
I mean, you would have to say
come through and, you know, really wrapped it up. Yeah, I'm trying to think, you know, as we go back, you know, and think, you know, who won and who did this. I mean, you know, the Giants never really rebuilt. You know, they always brought in different pieces here and there, but they never went through a true rebuild. You know, the Red Sox, you can't call that a rebuild because they always had, you know, big-time guys. You know, David Ortiz never left. Dustin Pedroia never left. You know, those guys were always kind of hanging around there. So, yeah, you know, the Cardinals, the same thing. The Cardinals do it the Cardinal way. You know, they do it with their guys in the minor leagues. They bring in pieces here and there. But they never go through a full-down, stripped-down rebuild where they lose 100-plus games for multiple seasons. You know, maybe the Rays, you know, when they – did they win one or did they just get there? I'm trying to remember.
I think they did win one because my father-in-law said, hey, you know, you can go to the game for like $5, $10, $15 and then they won it all. And or maybe they didn't win it all, but they went to the World Series and, you know, after that he wasn't going to the games anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I guess you could kind of count the Royals. You know, it took them a very long time, but they, you know, they did strip it down to the bare bones. You know, the Cubs did it faster, you know, much faster. But, you know, I guess technically, if you want to be technical, you could say the Royals did it. But again, you know, it was a very long time.
Well, then, I mean, it wasn't like a choice that they had. I mean, the team that won the World Series was really started to get put together in about 2009, I believe, was when a couple of the guys were drafted. And then 2011, you know, of course I remember that because that's the year I was down there. You know, you drop off Jeff Francoeur and pretty much the, you know, the eighth fielders is what you had for those, you know, remaining years, maybe seven because they've picked up Zobrist in there. So, I mean, I don't know. I think we'd have to dive a little deeper into what they did from, you know,
yeah,
what would you say, 2005 up until when they won.
Yeah, you know, and then digging back here, I don't think, honestly, you get another one until maybe the 91 Twins.
Yeah, but didn't they have
you know, and that's just, right, I mean, that's just guessing. I mean, they're, you know, I would have to look at the roster and, you know, kind of see how guys were acquired. But, you know, it's been a long time, you know, since a team had done it. Like I said, you could say the Royals, but again, you know, it took, you know, the Cubs were on a 5-year plan. I think the Royals were on a 10-year plan. So.
Well, and, you know, and everyone keeps talking, you know, Uncle Bob was on the train, you know, from day one, despite not watching Cubs baseball from the time they started pre-selling bleacher tickets, you know, because you're an old timer, you're an old timer who doesn't go to games. But the only way the Cubs should do it is sell bleacher tickets when you get there. I'm like, you didn't even go, so what do you care? But, you know, he was drinking that Kool-Aid up and, you know, telling me how, would you rather win one now or have sustained success? And, I mean, I think with the roster they put together, it's sustainable. I don't know if I would love to, but I don't know if there's another World Series win in the next 4 years. But, you know, when you look at the White Sox, you look at the Astros, I mean, the Astros kind of for a rebuild on this side during this decade, when we hit 2020, Big Jack, and we're, you know, taking the week off and we start again in 2021, we're going to look at the Astros as probably one of the biggest disappointments of this decade. And then you've got to wonder if the Sox will follow the suit.
Yeah, you know, it will be really interesting to see which way this White Sox team goes. And, you know, what I want to look for is the draft next year. You know, I want to know who they're picking and specifically, you know, what positions they're focusing on, because like I said, the one thing I learned from the Cubs draft, you know, from the Cubs rebuild, is you do not draft pitchers early. You know, you go after no matter who it is. And, you know, again, we'll bring up the Kyle Schwarber name. You take the best hitter, regardless of what position he plays, regardless of what anybody else thinks. The guy on your board who is the best hitter, you draft.
Well, to be honest, I'd have to pull it all up again, but I think that was kind of Theo's MO even in Boston. They really went after hitters, where I think the only guy that I can, you know, think of that they drafted really that was a pitcher was Clay Buchholz. But he was drafted later in the draft, after the position players or the hitters. I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. When did Theo leave Boston?
2011.
So 2010 was his last draft there.
Yeah. I believe he did the Cubs draft for 11. I mean, because even in the last draft, he was able to scoop up Xander Bogaerts. I know there was a couple other guys that were on the roster for the 2013 World Series. And I am totally wrong on Buchholz. I think he was drafted longer than 2009. But I could be wrong. I don't know if he was on the – I don't think he was on the first two World Series teams.
No, he wasn't. He hasn't been there that long, so.
I think so. I believe it was 2009.
So let's see. Well, I'll pull up the couple little bit here while we got the 2010 draft, and we'll see what the Red Sox did. That was the Bryce Harper draft. He was the number one pick. So the Red Sox picking 20th, it was a compensation pick, took a second baseman by the name of Colbrin Vidic. But it does not look like I don't think he ever made it to the majors. I don't remember the name, so I don't think so. Let me see if they had another first-round compensation. No, it doesn't look like it. Oh, yeah, here they go. 39, they took Anthony Rinaldo, who was a pitcher that's actually been in the majors with the White Sox, oddly. He hadn't had a great amount of success, but he did make it to the majors at least. So yeah, if that was Theo's draft, that one was not too successful. Working my way back to 2009, he took an outfielder by the name of Raymond Fuentes with the 28th pick. And yeah, that was it for the first. Well, let me see, compensate. Yeah, that was it for the first round picks there. So I'm becoming less and less confident in Theo here as I find these Red Sox draft picks. But maybe it was because they're so late in the draft. Is that what it was? 2008 was a right-handed. Yeah, here you go. 2008 was a right-handed pitcher by the name of Casey Kelly, with the 30th pick, and then they took another pitcher with the 45th pick, which was compensation, by the name of Brian Price. I don't know if he's now the Indians pitching coach. It is possible, but. That would have been a short career. So, yeah, just maybe this is where he learned to not take pitching.
I believe
so. Because, yeah, he scuffled another pitcher in 2007 with a compensation pick, Nick Hagedone. And then he actually took a shortstop by the name of Ryan Dent. Now, none of these guys, with the exception of Rinaldo, have made it to the majors. So, not a stellar showing for Theo there in Boston. So, he definitely learned his lesson coming to Chicago, because he's had great success in the draft picking hitters.
Yeah, I was totally off on Buck Holtz. He was drafted in 2005 in the first round of the 42nd pick. 09, 05, it's close.
Yeah, you know, it's close enough. You know, that's how it kind of worked out there. So, you know, we get these, you know, But, yeah, so not a stellar showing for Theo with the Red Sox. They're late, but they were winning. The picks were real late. It'll be interesting to see how the Cubs go now that they're picking so much later. You know, what he can kind of do to work out there to keep the team where it is, because he obviously, by going over that list, he does not have a history of selecting quality pitchers.
No, which is odd that he landed in Chicago. Not been known for developed pitching. The one thing Jason McLeod, I forgot his position. He works with Theo and Jed. I think he's been scouting or whatever, but you know, he said it's going to be a lot different this year and over the next couple it's going to be a lot different, but harder not having that high draft pick.
Yeah. Yes, it will.
And I think
so.
They have one.
All right. Well, we're running out of podcast here, so let's get to some Dan picks. We'll run over the NHL schedule here. We got the Philadelphia Flyers at the Buffalo Sabres, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Carolina Panthers, the Boston Bruins at the St. Louis Blues. That's the NBA Sports Network game tonight. The Vancouver Canucks are at the Nashville Predators. The Detroit Red Wings are at the Chicago Blackhawks. The San Jose Sharks at the Edmonton Oilers. And the Dallas Stars at the Anaheim Ducks. You know you're getting the Blackhawks game for sure here. The Red Wings are in town, Dan. The old rivalry heats up, even though they only play twice a year now, because Detroit's in the other conference. Chicago get a win tonight?
Chicago gets the win. And if not, you'll have an interesting email from Schomburg, too.
Yes, I will, about how they stink and they're, you know. All right, let's see. You know, there's a couple of interesting games here on the schedule that we'll go with. Let's go with this one. We'll go with the Vancouver Canucks at the Nashville Predators. You know, last time your hometown love leaked out for Nashville, they got beat. You got it again tonight against Vancouver, or you got Nashville getting you going with Nashville again?
I'm going to roll it up the ice on Nashville again.
All right, gonna stay there. Okay. All right, let's swing over and find the NBA schedule real quick. I did obviously go over it once, but we'll run it down very quickly here. The Bulls are at Washington. That game's already started, so we'll throw that one away. The Bulls are actually winning 24-19. We got the Celtics at the Raptors, the Hawks at the Nets, the Hornets at the Rockets, the Bucks at the Spurs, the Cavaliers at the Jazz, the Trailblazers at the Lakers, the Heat at the Warriors, and the Pistons at the Kings. Dan, we're going to start with the Bucks at the Spurs. There is a chance, they haven't reported officially yet, but Giannis Antetokounmpo may have to sit out for the Bucks. Apparently he has the same illness Jimmy Butler does. He is a proverbial game-time decision. Either way, you got Milwaukee pulling off the big road upset, or you're going with San Antonio?
Well, Milwaukee is sitting in the 8th seed, I think, right above the Bulls at 18-18. But with Antetokounmpo, I think that's how you said it. I'm going to go Spurs. I'm going to start everybody tonight.
Yeah, you would think so, but you do never know. All right, and then let's go with this game. How about the Portland Trail Blazers at the Los Angeles Lakers?
I'm going to go with the Lakers by the
Ooh,
ocean.
Okay. I thought for a minute there you were going to go the other way, but all right, we'll get that all set up. So we'll see how that goes. So are you going to partake in some of the Bulls or some of the Blackhawks game, or what else you got going on?
Well, you did mention the Bulls were winning, so as soon as we get in, probably stream it on the iPad while I'm eating dinner.
I wasn't sure if you were doing the workout today or not. So. All right, Dan and I are taking off, but we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. So while we're away, you know the deal. Get over to sportstimeradio.com, check out all the content there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed, which, of course, is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can get Dan's picks there, or they'll come up at Dan's D-Man. Remember, he's got three D's in that one. On the ice tonight, he likes the Blackhawks and the Predators to get wins. And in the NBA, he's going with the Spurs and the Lakers to get victories. So get on that Twitter feed, let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.